Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN, where we are about to talk about feline infectious peritonitis, or FIP. Why am I so excited about that? Well, because there's amazing news for cats. But having said that, this whole FIP story, I'm telling you, it could be and should be a Netflix special, because there's drama, there's intrigue, and controversy. And we'll talk about some of that, too, with Dr. Sam Evans, Assistant Professor of Veterinary Medicine at Colorado State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and Peter Cohn, who wears cats on his sleeve. Zen by Cat is the organization he founded, a non-for-profit that he'll explain what that's about. But first, Dr. Evans, feline infectious peritonitis? That sounds like a really bad thing. What is FIP, first? And is it today a really bad thing?
Yeah, excellent question. First of all, FIP is a systemic viral disease of cats caused by a coronavirus that is unique to cats, unrelated to COVID-19, but causes a terrible, fatal disease in domestic and wild cats around the globe. And we used to say it was 100% fatal, you know, it was a death sentence until recently. And in the last 5 years, we've undergone an absolute revolution in this field, and now FIP is a treatable disease, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that.
Oh, we will. So what happened that it was considered fatal? And I would suggest, what is the right word that I'm looking for? More difficult than any diagnosis maybe a veterinarian could make. I mean, here is something that was fatal.
Absolutely.
And it most often happened to kittens, little babies. And there's nothing – veterinarians forever until 2019 were powerless to do much about it except to do the best they could to tell the cat parent how to make the cat or kitten comfortable until the end came. That was pretty much all that could be done, right?
Exactly right. And as you said, it was and is still somewhat challenging to diagnose because it presents in such different ways depending on where the virus happens to travel in the body and which organs it attacks. But it's, uniformly fatal without treatment, and we've come a really long way. And so it's a really exciting story to be able to share.
All right. We'll tell some of that story in a moment. So to be clear, kittens and cats in general, like many species, have their own coronavirus or viruses. And the coronavirus, the feline coronavirus, is generally not worth even talking about in cats because by the time you call the veterinarian, the cat usually gets or kitten gets better on their own. However, in a percent of cats, this coronavirus does what I call, and I hope you appreciate my technical language in this, a dipsy-doodle mutation inside the cat, and it now is an immune-mediated disease, and that is what we're calling feline infectious peritonitis. I perhaps did not explain that medically well, but is this the gist of it, Dr. Evans?
Yes, absolutely. So you're exactly right. The pathogenesis, which is a fancy term for how a disease comes about in an animal, is extremely complicated for this disease in particular. It's unique that way because, as I always say to my students, you know, it's an infectious disease. It's caused by a virus, but it's not a traditionally contagious disease, which is to say one cat with FIP usually does not spread it to another cat with that can then receive FIP. That's not how it works. There's this benign virus you pointed out that's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Most of the time it causes no problems for our cats and kittens. But then in a subset of cats, around 1 to 2% of cats, the virus can mutate in such a way that it does spread around the body and cause this horrible, horrific disease, which, as you pointed out, kills kittens. The vast majority of cases of this disease are less than 2 years of age, and we frequently even see it, you know, in the range of 4 to 8 months. And so it's a nasty disease. Used to be the number one feared and hated disease in feline medicine.
Used to be, she says. So years ago, for decades, the Every Cat Health Foundation. At one point, even had a different name going back enough years. The Every Cat Health Foundation, which funds cat health studies, made a commitment with a fund called the BREA Fund to finally figure this out. And for decades, truly, funded researchers from around the world, and mostly Dr. Niels Petersen, very famously at the University of California, Davis, who came up with this drug that could help. But along the way, you don't do this without money, and that's needed. And Peter Cohn, that's in part where you came in with Zen by Cat. Talk about what Zen by Cat is all about.
Sure. So when I was fortunate enough to meet Dr. Petersen when my little kitten, Miss Bean, got into the first drug trial in 2016 at UC Davis, of course, I was so grateful that my kitten had a chance, and I asked him what he needed, and he said money. I've told the story before, but I whipped out a checkbook and gave him $500, and his face told me right away he meant big money. And he told me then that they, meaning FIP researchers around the world, needed $1 million a year, and if they had steady funding like that, they could end this disease. So against his, he tried to talk me out of it because he said the human world is hard. I created Zen by Cat specifically to raise money for FIP research. And we set up our 501c3 with very strict bylaws where we are required to only use 10% to cover our overhead, and we give 90% to research through the Every Cat Health Foundation.
And the result of that was Dr. Petersen saying at a symposium, which I was at in 2019, you were there as well, Peter, Dr. Petersen said, aha, even before that symposium, actually, There's a drug that can help these cats, or at least I think it can. He did some clinical trials, published some papers, peer-reviewed, and in fact, much to his surprise even, it worked remarkably well. Now, that was 2019. The pandemic hits, and that same drug is used to help people. I want to tell that part of the story, but there's much more to it. And where are we today with feline infectious peritonitis? It might not be what you think. And we will talk about that some more with Peter Cohn of Zen by Cat and Dr. Sam Evans, an assistant professor of veterinary medicine at beautiful Colorado State University College of Veterinary. She could be up mountain climbing as we speak. We'll be right back. We are talking about feline infectious peritonitis. Yes, an entire program about one cat disease. But the story is so incredible. So here's where we left off. The pandemic hits. And during the pandemic, and I know this part very, very well, this part of the story, because I know firsthand that our government was seeking desperately an antiviral. Our pandemic caused by a human, a novel human coronavirus. Now, Dr. Evans, I don't know much about veterinary medicine, except I know this, we're not cats. But so desperate was our government to come up with something that they looked at a drug that had been used successfully for cats that had this disease, feline infectious peritonitis, not even itself a coronavirus, but caused by a mutation of the coronavirus. And lo and behold, this drug for humans with the novel coronavirus actually, in a quick clinical trial that was done, showed promise. It really did help. And soon enough, it has now helped, at this point in time, thousands of people, save thousands of human lives across the globe. The drug I'm talking about, you may have heard about, friends. It's called Remdesivir. It's an amazing story, I think, Dr. Evans, that out of the blue, and I had the opportunity to talk about this with Dr. Fauci on this very radio show. So I know this is true, this crazy story, that out of nowhere came this drug, originally, by the way, meant for Ebola virus in people, then used for cats with feline infectious peritonitis, and now then, after that, used for humans who had this novel coronavirus, which caused the pandemic. Do you know about that story?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's very big in my world, this story of one health success. And also, you know, I would argue somewhat of a One Health failure in a way. And I say that, Steve, because, you know, we do, we were able to kind of lean on the literature in cats to look at this drug for use in COVID-19 in people, which is awesome. What I wish had happened, and this is, you know, me speaking as a professor, not as a, not working for a pharmaceutical company, of course, but I wish that we had had the drug in production already for the feline and for the veterinary market, because we had been using this exact drug in either the prodrug form remdesivir or the active form that we now use in cats called GS441524. We had been using this drug, you know, at least 3 years before the pandemic hit. And so, you know, in my mind, it would have been amazing to see the drug commercialized for veterinary medicine, which I think we're going to talk about soon, still has not happened.
Yeah, yeah. So that's you're leading us exactly to where I want to go with this. So in 2019, at a symposium at UC Davis, at their veterinary school, it became clear, Peter, that remdesivir or any form of it would not immediately be available in the United States. That had to be frustrating because on one hand, you knew it worked, but on the other, if nobody can get it, what good does it do? And that's when China came in. Do you want to pick it up from there?
Sure. So in 2016, we founded ZoMyCat. These drugs were not available. All cats died. And then in 2019, I was actually contacted by Robin, who founded FAP Warriors. I licensed the name to her. She contacted me, and she said she had a little kitten, Henry, and she had read about Smokey's Cure in 2016, and she went online, and she found these drugs, and they were being manufactured by Chinese pharmaceutical companies. She was using them to treat her kitten, and she asked me if I wanted to help find these drugs for other cat parents, and I said yes. So FIP Warriors was founded with the mission to save today's cat, and Robin took that group of one person and one cat to today. It has 100,000 human members. It has saved hundreds of thousands of cats, but it's been a long, painful story. We know why it's controversial, but it has filled a vacuum that existed where the pharmaceutical world and the veterinary world could not provide these drugs. These groups grew, and again, FIP Warriors have split many times. There are many, many groups all over the world, and we have cured cats, and we continue to help fill this void and cure cats today.
And there is no doubt what you say is absolutely true, but in 2019, no one knew, including the famed Dr. Peterson, who we've mentioned several times. In fact, I was there. I know he called the Chinese product. He said it may be great, but it may be, quote, goo. That's what he called it. He didn't know, you know. But then studies, Peter, demonstrated that, in fact, these products from China really did work. And anecdotally, veterinarians were seeing these cats that were being, and never thought of before could happen, cured of FIP.
Yes. Again, we understand the controversy, but these products absolutely work in 80, 85 to 90% of the cases. I'm not a vet. I'm not pretending to be one. But this is what the groups have found. The groups work with veterinarians. They always try to find treatment-friendly veterinarians, and now there are a lot of them. In 2019, there were very, very few. A lot of veterinarians were against us. But that's different now, and it feels like we're all kind of on the same page, all working to the holy grail would be to have veterinarians diagnose FIP, reach into their medicine cabinet, have these drugs readily available at an affordable price, and treat their cats. We're not there yet, in our opinion, but we definitely have come a huge way where, as you said, FIP is absolutely treatable now.
Yeah, it is absolutely treatable. So, Dr. Evans, I want to back it up just a little bit. So, no one knew at one point in time whether these Chinese drugs worked, for one thing, but then papers came out, never mind the anecdotal evidence, which was significant, that really the drugs overall did incredibly well. I mean, really did work to cure, which is an amazing word for FIP, to cure these kittens who otherwise would have succumbed. But it was complicated because The drugs were available from China. They were available on the so-called black market. And veterinarians, so I was out there talking about how veterinarians could legally circumvent the system, if you will, and communicating to pet parents also that these options were even available, because at that time, it wasn't as easy to find those options as it is today. Also, veterinarians like Dr. Elizabeth Collarin, I want to mention her name because she was a leader among others in the field who said, you know what, we've got to save cats. That's our number one job. But it wasn't easy necessarily because it wasn't ideal because these drugs were not being prescribed, Dr. Evans, in a typical fashion. I'm going to leave it there because we have to break, but I want you to talk about that. And then we're going to jump ahead to where we are today, which is hugely different. And we will do that. And decisions are still to be made, and the drama continues. I swear, Netflix special, that's next, about FIP. We'll be back with Dr. Evans and also Peter Cohn on WGN. We know that cats are living overall longer than ever before. Many reasons for that. One is increased attention to veterinary care. What I mean is that we're simply bringing in our cats more often to see the veterinarian. You know what? The best veterinarian on the planet cannot help a cat the veterinarian doesn't see. But also veterinary technology, understanding feline diseases, all of that has gotten much better. For example, one of those diseases, FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, once considered fatal, that's now considered very treatable, in fact. So those are factors, better nutrition. The biggest factor of all is likely that we're keeping our cats indoors more than ever before. But according to a new BBC report, experts at the University of Edinburgh carried out a post-mortem brain exam on 25 cats. All those cats had one thing in common. They were showing signs of dementia before they passed away. And all of those cats, when looking under a microscope, had similar symptoms of dementia, and all of them had, and this is what they saw under the microscope, a buildup of amyloid beta or amyloid plaque, which interferes with communication from cell to cell. That's what we call Alzheimer's very often in people. It's certainly what we call dementia in people, which can be diagnosed as Alzheimer's. And not only in people, but in dogs. Dogs have been used for some time as a model for aging in people. Dogs are strikingly similar to us in many, many ways. We've known that. But here's the thing. It takes, what, 70, 75, 80, 85 years for an average person to develop, on average anyway, dementia or Alzheimer's disease. In dogs, they don't live that long, right? So the dogs can be studied. A dog typically will live anywhere between 7 to 15 years at that point. 7 to 15 years, depending on the breed or the size of the dog. That dog at 7 to 15 years is considered geriatric. So we don't, to study people, you have to wait decades and decades, not so much with dogs. This feline study confirms what researchers have assumed for some time. Not only is there now a One Health discovery regarding cats that will help cats, but as we better understand how they age, but there's real potential because of this study and what we now understand and what we know in cats to help us and to benefit us as well. We are talking about feline infectious peritonitis. And, you know, if I had done this radio show, and I did radio shows back in the day, where I talked about this one complex disease, and it was tough. It wasn't a happy show. Now, there's some controversy, which we'll get into, but boy, oh boy, these cats can be cured. Or is that the right word? Are they really being cured, or are they in remission? One of my many questions for Dr. Sam Evans, Assistant Professor of Veterinary Medicine at Colorado State University. Peter Cohn is here, one of the many heroes, by the way, Peter, you are. And you mention the online groups. You mentioned one woman, Robin, and she deserves credit, but she's not alone, Peter. You, she, and so many others, whether those people gave $5 directly to your organization or to Every Cat Health Foundation, or they participated in one of these groups. Peter, there are so many stories here. So many people whose cats are saved, then they go to save other. So many veterinary professionals who say, I want to help FIP warriors, and I want to lend my guidance as well. Do you agree with me about that?
Absolutely. These groups are filled with amazing people who, again, put together these groups under challenging conditions, under changing conditions to save cats. And even though the groups have splintered many times and there are now multiple groups who don't always agree, don't always think the same protocols should follow, they're all trying to save cats. And that's our biggest message is attacking different people doesn't help. We're all in the same wavelength that we want to save cats. And yes, Robin, FIP Warriors is now part of a group called FIP Universal Coalition that is made up of six groups and growing. And again, these are all over the world. The U.S. has, FIP Warriors has 100,000 humans, but we have chapters in 104 countries. And they loosely work together. They have to work under local laws and customs. And it's very, very loosely coordinated, but it is saving cats. Absolutely.
All right. So, Dr. Evans, remdesivir for cats, if you will, was never approved by the Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicine. And in the meantime, China is providing their version, which you'll tell me if you agree, seemed to overall, as we've talked about, do these drugs did what they were supposed to do, but not under exactly ideal circumstances, but what's most important, cats' lives everywhere, as correctly Peter said, around the world, and certainly in America, lives were being saved. No drug had been approved still to date, even by the Food and Drug Administration. Maybe you can offer insight as to why. I have no clue. But some compounding pharmacies very recently said, oh, we know the secret recipe, and we're going to make these products available. If I'm missing something, fill in the gap and then talk about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to, respond to a lot of the things that you've been saying and Peter's been saying, because I think, like you said at the start, there's so many layers of intrigue to this story. You know, first of all, a previously 100% fatal disease that we are now curing 85% of the time. That's a 180-degree change that we just don't see. You don't see miracle cures like that every day in medicine, right? And that includes human medicine. Next level, this is an antiviral drug. It's a whole new class of drugs for veterinary medicine. So for me, it's as exciting as like the 1940s with the advent of penicillin and the antibiotic era. We now have an antiviral era in veterinary medicine. Third, we've already talked about the One Health implications with the parallel to the COVID-19 pandemic happening around the same time that this is all happening in cats, even though, these drugs were used in cats several years before that. And then finally, this idea of citizen medicine, which is my label to what Peter and Robin and all the other, online groups have been doing, which is basically, the analog of citizen science, but taking medicine into the hands of people where medical institutions have failed. We didn't have legal prescribable options. We didn't have anywhere to go to a pharmacy or a veterinarian, and that was for 5 years' time. So I want people to understand that this is happening, from around mid-2019, as was referred to, up until, June of last year. So that would be 2024. For 5 years, we had no other option other than asking for help from these groups who were getting this drug from Chinese companies. And, I was among many veterinarians advocating for people to do this because it was the only way to save their cats. And we take an oath as a veterinarian to treat disease in animal patients. And this was a miracle cure that we could obtain by going to these people. And so I am a huge proponent of citizen medicine now. It's changed the way I think about medicine, and I just want to emphasize my gratitude to these groups for filling that vacuum.
All right. So, and yes, everything you say, I totally agree with. Now we have some additional options from some compounders provided right here in America.
Yes. Apologies for not continuing that. Yes. So as of June 1st of 2024, the first compounded drugs became available in the United States. That's under a certain FDA sort of, I hesitate to call it a loophole because it's honestly what compounded drugs, you know, all compounded drugs we use in veterinary medicine are used pretty much under this guidance for industry number 256 from the FDA, which allows compounding pharmacies to take bulk substances from, FDA-approved facilities that bulk comes from, and then compound those, make them available to veterinary patients and clients when there isn't an FDA-approved formulation. And as you said, there is no FDA-approved drug for FIP, and truthfully, you know, there may not be one for the foreseeable future. And so, you know, in the absence of that, these compounders have taken up the role now of compounding the drugs, you know, formulating drugs appropriate for cats, which means adding flavors like meat flavors, tuna flavors, making them the right concentration at the right dosage so that we can deliver them effectively to cats. And today, you know, I checked just a few days ago in September of 2025, we have 17 different U.S. compounding pharmacies that now have antiviral drugs available for legal prescription by a veterinarian in this country.
All right. So when we come back, I wanted to talk about the advantages to that and what now, if your cat is diagnosed with FIP or you know someone whose cat is, what should the first step be? Do you go to these Chinese products or do you listen to your veterinarian regarding compounded products? There are pros and cons. And we'll talk about all of that when we come back on WGN. Talking with Peter Cohn of Zen by Cat, who is entrenched in this world of feline infectious peritonitis and all the drama as anybody else. And so is Dr. Sam Evans, assistant professor of veterinary medicine at Colorado State University. So now products are available by compounded pharmacies. Dr. Evans, if your cat is diagnosed or you know someone whose cat is with FIP, what do you recommend people do? Do we go online to get products? Or do we ask our veterinarian for the compounded products? Of course, our veterinarian should be giving us advice as well.
Yeah, Steve, I mean, you're talking to a veterinarian, right? And so I am always going to advocate that people get advice about animal health from the professionals who go to school for many, many years to do this, right? And so I recommend that if your cat or someone you know has FIP, you know, first of all, going to a vet to get that diagnosis, which is not trivial, as we mentioned, it is a tricky thing to diagnose. And so, you know, I don't want people thinking that, you know, as soon as their cat sneezes that it could have FIP, right? I think this is tricky to distinguish from some other common diseases of cats that we see all the time. So getting a diagnosis that's accurate is critical. And then getting a prescription. Now, I mentioned we have 17 pharmacies in the U.S. Many, if not all of them, will ship overnight. There have, you know, been some issues with delays, which I'm not sweeping under the rug because that's a big problem. These drugs are life-saving, and it's critical to start them as soon as possible. But getting a prescription from your veterinarian, in my opinion, is the safest way to get this drug. And more important than the drug itself, I want to emphasize this, is the advice surrounding the holistic treatment of your cat. And so it's not just the drug and the safety of the drug, but it's everything else that we can do as professionals to support an animal through a critical illness. And that includes, you know, pain management, IV fluids, feeding tube placement, anti-seizure drugs, all of that that we would do as veterinary professionals that I think is important to go to a DVM for.
Absolutely. I understand that. But there are some kittens with FIP, neurological FIP, I don't want to get too technical here, or maybe even ocular FIP, because FIP comes in several different forms, that the injected products, which are those that are purchased online, might be more effective, at first anyway, than using the compounded products. That's the anecdotal word on the street. Is that true?
It's a great question. And, you know, we just don't see that in the published literature, that they're really the publications we have, which primarily are coming from Australia and the United Kingdom, which have had these compounded drugs for 4 and 5 years now, starting in 2020 in Australia and 21 in the UK. Those institutions and professionals have had equal success with the oral formulations as they have with injectable. So I want to emphasize that probably in 99%+ of cases, we can start with oral from day one. And for those really critical cats, severely neurologic cats that cannot swallow the drug, for example, they don't have a swallow reflex and perhaps they're comatose, for those cats, we even recommend placing a feeding tube and giving the drug through the tube. But we have had great success in the literature. And I know, I know there's anecdotal evidence to the contrary, but I still recommend oral drug for every cat, if at all possible.
All right. And we want veterinary feedback from those who know our cats best. And even though the volunteers that are online, but they can only go so far for various reasons, legal reasons. They're probably out of state, but also, of course, they don't know your cat. You're getting general advice. Peter, I believe there's some pushback here, and I'm curious as to what that might be.
Yes, and I'm going to try to be articulate, and I want to make sure everyone understands. Dr. Evans and I are on the same side. We just see a different world. Again, I'm Zen by Cat, but I'm talking about FIT Warriors and all the online groups. On any given day in the U.S., they are helping get 2,000 to 3,000 cats treatment. And they see a much higher percentage of cats that need to start on injectables that for various reasons. And a lot of vets don't have as much experience as these online groups do. We want them all to do that, but we get referred to lots of vets send their cat that they've diagnosed to us, to the groups, and not only to get advice and help, but the vet may prescribe the online compounded drugs, but they take 2 to 5 days. That's just what we see on the street, and cats can't wait. So often we will help them get started, and then they transition to the pills that come there. Again, we see a higher percentage of cats that need injectables. We are not arguing against science. We are saying we want more studies. We want people like Dr. Evans to talk to the vets and the volunteers who are seeing this, because she's seeing a different world than we are. But again, we are on the same side. We just see a lot more cats that need to start the meds that day, and the only meds are the ones we can get online.
So, Dr. Evans, what I'd like to see is a veterinary community, maybe the feline veterinarians at the very least, get together and say, okay, if you're not going to carry these compounded products in your refrigerator, maybe the person down the street can. Is there any way to do that legally, or to encourage every, at least feline vet, to carry these products? Because waiting a couple days for many, not all, kittens can be a problem.
You're exactly right. And I think that's where, Peter and I have discussed this. We're still in a world where many vets, probably most veterinarians, do not carry these antiviral drugs in their medicine cabinets. And that's a problem, because it's absolutely critical that these cats start as soon as they receive a diagnosis of FIP. And I'm a huge proponent. I speak in front of a lot of veterinary audiences of, hey, look, all you have to carry in your pharmacy is about 3 to 5 pills to save a life, right? And so it's not that expensive to just have a few pills on hand for when you do see an urgent case. You can give them those 3 to 5 pills to tide them over for the couple days, as Peter mentioned, that it will take to get the drugs from a compounding pharmacy directly. And I don't see a reason not to do that. There's no reason we wouldn't stock other life-saving drugs in our cabinets, like Clavamox or, rattlesnake antivenom or dexamethasone or any other drug like that. Of course we would keep it. And so, that's a major message that I want to send to veterinarians, is you don't have to have a lot, just have a few pills.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Peter, we literally have about 2 minutes left, so take about half that time to add in whatever you like.
I'll be repeating myself, but just that we're all working together. We want the veterinary world to consider these groups as allies. Dr. Peterson often said, as Dr. Evans said, citizen medicine is a new thing that's useful. And we absolutely want to get to a place where the vets are doing all the drug getting and all the prescribing. But in the meantime, these people have a lot of knowledge, and we want to share with veterinarians. We want to help them and bring more on board. Shout out Zen by Cat. Donate to FIP Research through Zen by Cat. We are really good at raising money, and it all goes to the Every Cat Health Foundation that funds researchers like Dr. Evans and all around the world.
Yep.
So zenbycat.org.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know, zenbycat.org. Dr. Evans, less than a minute here, but I want you to respond as well.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, say exactly what Peter said. We're on the same page. You know, people that love cats, people that want to help cats, I think we need to work together. You know, I have, as I mentioned already, been extremely grateful to these groups. And so, you know, I just want to say once again, you know, it's incredible what they've done. I'm excited that we can do this now more and more in veterinary institutions and in the veterinary setting. And I want to encourage veterinarians to be confident and competent in treating this disease and to carry the drug, because we need to save these cats. And so thanks to Peter. Thanks to everyone who's been helping for all these years.
Peter certainly has, of Zen by Cat. Dr. Sam Evans of Colorado State University, thank you both very much. Being on the board of the Every Cat Health Foundation, I've been a part of this FIP story in many ways for many years. And I will tell you, it's exciting. It truly is that we have drugs that truly are effective, can be purchased right here in America through your veterinarian. But the thing is, more veterinarians actually need to carry these drugs. That's one thing. More veterinarians need to be still further educated about FIP. But having said that, I am glad we're in the place that we are now, and we're moving toward your veterinarian being able to say, I can help this kitten or cat with FIP, and I can do that tomorrow. And that is, I think, what we must do. Now, these groups online have been heroic, and I think they can still, I know they can still have a place, which is very important to save cats, which is what we all want to do. And want to talk to you next week, bright and early on WGN.